Thank you for choosing another presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We pray that you will be blessed by the following sermon and that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart.
Sabbath Church, it is a privilege and an honor to be with you on Personal Ministries Day. Shall we pray? Our Father and our God, we wait a word from you. Disappoint us not, this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Mary had a little lamb. Its fleece was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. I have to tell you that this particular nursery rhyme served to be a source of great disillusionment for me. There I was about to start school at West Thornton Infants, and I believed that on my first day of school, finally, I would understand the intricacies of the alphabet. Finally, I would be able to count and multiply, and I would be like the other more educated students in the school. And the first day of school, this is how it started. Let's all sit together, sit around, and repeat after me. Mary had a little lamb. I did not understand the significance of Mary having a little lamb, and I didn't really want to know much more about it at the time. But if that wasn't bad enough, it was followed up by Mary, Mary, quite contrary. How does your garden grow with silver bells and cockle shells and pretty maids all in a row? Well, I made it through infants and then I made it on to high school. And in high school, my father set up a very, very strict way of spending the summer holidays, if you could call it that. He outlined a timetable in which every minute of the day was accounted for. You get up at this time, you do this at this time, you study from this time to this time. You relax now you go back and study. There were very few programs that we were really allowed to see, and one of them, and probably the only one, was the news. So you can understand my surprise when I received a call. He was at the hospital at the time. He called home, the phone rang, picked it up, handed and listened to him on the phone, and this is what he said. He says, "There's something on television right now you need to see. There's something on television right now you need to see." I said, "Okay." And then he said, that was it. And then he hung up. So there are not many channels at the time. There was BBC One, BBC Two, and ITV. So it wasn't hard to figure out which particular channel it was, and it was on BBC One. So now I switch on the television and look at it in all its black and white glory. And there in a monastery, the nuns were singing. How do you solve a problem like Maria? Mary. How do you catch a cloud and pin it down? How do you find a word that means Maria? A flippity-tibbit, a will-of-a-wisk, a clown. Many a thing you know you'd like to tell her. Many a thing she ought to understand. But how do you make her stay and listen to all you say? How do you keep a wave upon the sand? Or how do you hold a moonbeam in your hand? And there she was again, Mary. The perpetual interruption in my day, in my life, in my life's quest. So then I headed from high school and now we're heading to college. Sitting in Christian beliefs the first day in class. I'm sitting down with those who will be my fellow theologians for the next 4 years. those who will go on to be conference presidents, those who will go on to be division leaders. And I'm sitting in class with them, and I'm listening to the pastor who's teaching the class, and he's a deep person. And then he draws our attention to Matthew. Matthew 26, verses 6 through 13. And then I looked at it and I said, maybe this was a mistake. But then he drew our attention to Mark 14, 3 through 11. And then surely he could not have been serious about what we were going to study. Then he looked at Luke 7, 36 through 50. And then finally, John 11, 55 through 57. And in every passage, there she was, Mary, causing the same problems. Who had invited her here? And the question is, what shall we do with Mary? It was 6 days before the Passover. And many had heard that Jesus had risen Lazarus from the dead. And Jesus now is coming back to town. And whispers fly from lip to ear. There must be something special here. Everyone wants to have a look to see this man who has been risen from the dead. And they want to see the great resurrector. Jesus is coming to town. Now, Simon, who had been healed by Jesus, took this opportunity to invite Jesus to his house. Well, it's nice to have someone of unspeakable fame at your dwelling place. But Spirit of Prophecy tells us that though he acknowledged Jesus, which many Pharisees had not, he did not acknowledge him as his Savior. And so now Jesus is at Simon's house. And you can see the elite guests, the theological giants, those ones who feel themselves worthy of the great invite. And you can look on the guest list. And you can look behind the guest list. And you can look under the guest list. And you will not find Mary's name. The more I looked at this, the more I realized that maybe even though something was wrong, something probably was wrong with me and my understanding. How do we solve a problem like Maria Mary? Who would bring a lamb to school? Who would be caught sinning so many times and be forgiven and forgiven and forgiven and not forgotten? And why was she left off the guest list? I came to realize that sometimes we don't see things the way God sees things. The only real commandment that we're given, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And I came to realize that I could not truthfully say I loved God if I did not invite Mary, if I did not love Mary. My attitude towards Mary is a direct reflection of my understanding and love of God. Solve a problem like Mary. And then I started to realize that there's so much good in the worst of us and so much bad in the best that it hardly becomes any of us to talk about the rest of us. And I began to understand that maybe I am Mary and Simon in this great feast looks upon this uninvited guest who again embarrasses herself taking this perfume and breaking it and pouring it on Jesus and wiping him with her hair. And he says, if he had known who she was, then maybe he would be a prophet. But the truth of the story is this. You know, Jesus is really very good and tactful. Just at the same time, Judas looks on and says, you know, that could have been sold for 300 pence. Now, Judas was thinking, since he was the one financing and keeping, was in charge of the money, that if this was sold, this would go into the coffers and this would be mine. Spirit of prophecy says that. So he wasn't thinking of the greater good of the poor. He was thinking about himself. In addition, her act was so shameful, embarrassing them, because Christ had been invited and no one had paid him any attention. Now, Jesus answers this way. If someone's forgiven 50 or 500 pence, who would be the most thankful? And of course, the response is the one forgiven of 500. So in that sense, they think that Mary is the greatest sinner and therefore she should be the most grateful. And that's how I saw it for a long time. But the truth is that Simon was the one who led Mary into sin. So Simon was the greater sinner. And Mary had been forgiven of 50 pence. And Simon had been forgiven of 500. And he didn't see it. There's so much good in the worst of us. And so much bad in the best. What shall we do with Mary? I think it's time we undo the contradiction. How can you say you love God who you don't see? And you can't love Mary who you see? Well, I don't see Mary anywhere here. This train is a holy train, this train. This train don't carry no liars, this train. This train don't carry no cheats, this train. This train is a train of perfect people. Think again. We have to become more forgiving. We have to realize that we are all struggling. All our righteousness is a filthy rag. No one's going to pull themselves up to heaven by their bootstraps. So now, see the scene. You know, Christ had told Mary, you know, and told the disciples, it's coming to a close just now. The curtains are coming down. The disciples heard, but they didn't want to believe it. They were on a roll of power that they really loved. Jesus' fame had taken over the land. He was now an important person, and finally their lives had been transformed from being in the shadows to being in the limelight. Why would you say that you're going to die? Don't die. Stay with us. Let us. In fact, stay with us and let us be powerful here A taste of this is on Mount Transfiguration. We can build a temple here, and even you can stay up here, Jesus. But Jesus had a deeper plan and a far-reaching meaning to his ministry. The only one who seemed to believe was Mary. She had bought the ointment for his entombment. And then she thought, I'm going to honor him while he's alive. She didn't even try to draw attention to herself. It was just the wonderful fragrance that caught people's attention. She wasn't going there for fame or popularity. She knew how they felt about her. Even dumb animals know when they're not liked. You think Mary doesn't have feelings? She went there looking at their, feeling their scorn, feeling their incredulous wonder. What is she doing here? And she went anyway. So I ask you, have you seen Mary? Have you seen Mary at the bus stop? Have you seen Mary at the traffic light? Have you seen Mary on Union Avenue? Have you seen Mary in the pew? Have you seen Mary in the mirror? The crowds have lined the narrow street to see this man from Galilee, just a carpenter, some say, leading fools astray, yet they bow to call him king on Friday. The devil's diabolic demons of damnation dance in the dismal depths of their deep, dark dungeons on Friday. Slimy serpents of sin vomit their vehement venom into the veins of their victims on Friday. On Friday, not a harp is played in heaven. Cherubim and seraphim keep their lips shut. Darkness descends upon Calvary on Friday. Where are the disciples? Simon Peter has already split, afraid, and denied him several times. We're told that Mary is standing there at the foot of the cross. Through the peace of the Sabbath, now we come to Sunday morning. And as he bursts forth from the tomb, who does he speak to first? Who does he speak to first? It's Mary. You see, the thing that we have to understand is that the message has always been about Mary. The mission has always been to save Mary. What shall we do with Mary? We should love Mary. How should we love Mary? Many times we feel that our missionary work comprises of going to far off fields and seeking out the lost and helping those in distant places, while Mary stands outside in the shadows, ashamed to come in. Why isn't she coming in? Because her hemline is too high and her reputation is too low. I don't want her here. I'm not going to introduce her to my family. What? Bring Mary home? Mary had a little lamb. I came back to that nursery rhyme and I saw it again for the first time. Its fleece was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. And I looked at it with new eyes. That Jesus came to save Mary. pursued Mary and saw what Mary could be. Mary was the one who drew close to him in his ministry. Mary was the one who stood close to the cross when he was crucified. Mary was the one who had honored him while he was alive. Mary was the first to see the risen Savior, and Mary was the first to proclaim the good news of the gospel. I came back and I realized that there were more verses to the poem, and it said, Mary had a little lamb, its fleece was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. It followed her to school one day, which was against the rules. And then the next verse says, it made the children laugh and play, laugh and play, laugh and play, to see a lamb at school. And so the teacher turned it out, but still it lingered near and waited patiently about till Mary did appear. And why does the lamb love Mary so?
Thank you for listening to another powerful presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We trust that you have been blessed and pray that you will choose to be used by God. As always, stay blessed by the best.